The Deathstalker Scorpion is about the size of your palm. It's yellow and surly, its venom a seething cocktail of neurotoxins. And somewhere in that poison soup is a very special little molecule called chlorotoxin, designed to penetrate a prey animal's brain. It happens that ability can be harnessed to dramatic effect. So dramatic, it gets its own soundtrack.
It turns out that this one happens to bind to cancer cells, but not to normal tissues.
This is a promotional video, and that's Dr. Jim Olson.
What we did was we attached a little molecular flashlight to that, and so when we put it into the bloodstream, the scorpion toxin finds the cancer cells and drags the flashlight into them and makes them glow brilliant.
Imagine you have to cut into someone's brain. This drug, called tumor paint, may be able to show the surgeon a bright, shining line, literally, between the cancer cells and precious, healthy brain tissue. It could be a major breakthrough if it proves out. But big as it may be, developing tumor paint convinced the researchers they could be onto something much bigger, a whole new class of drugs.
Basically, wherever you need a really durable drug-like molecule, nature has evolved to these kinds of structures again and again.
Chris Malin is one of Jim Olson's collaborators at Fred Hutch. He says these little proteins called knotted peptides, or knottens, occur all over in nature.
Horseshoe crab peptides, spider peptides, these are made in sunflowers and petunias. Really, lots of situations in nature where one organism is trying to influence another one, if you can call getting like stung by a scorpion influencing, right?
These peptides have qualities most pharmaceuticals don't. That has researchers hoping they could lead to therapies for a whole range of diseases, from cancer to Alzheimer's. Most drugs, whether it's aspirin or Viagra, interrupt molecular machines by throwing in a teeny tiny monkey wrench. But in some cases, the moving parts are too big for that to work.
If you had two pieces of Velcro coming together, trying to keep those apart with something the size of maybe a grain of sand just wouldn't work.
So you need something bigger, but not so big that it can't fit through cell walls or into the brain. It has to be something in the middle, something durable, something like a knotted peptide.
We're stuck in the situation where we know all of these interactions inside cells that we want to hit. So we figure these are a little bigger than the small molecules, should still be able to get into cells, so we're in a sort of sweet spot.
So why aren't the drug companies doing this already, making billions and curing cancer? Well, these peptides are really hard to make. They don't just have to have the right building blocks. They're also precisely folded like microscopic origami. Fold it wrong, and it doesn't work. That's where Jim Olson's team had its other breakthrough.
My team has learned more in the last 11 months than the top 20 pharmaceutical companies put together in the last 20 years around these mid-sized drugs. And we've gone from the ability to make 12 of these in a year to being able to make 10,000 in 3 weeks.
The secret sauce can be found in a tray of gyrating glassware in a lab at Fred Hutch. Chris Malin pokes a finger inside the incubator.
Inside there, see all those little flasks? Each of those contains a different set of cells making a different one of these little knotted peptides.
Co-director Colin Carenti says the trick is not to try and do all that folding yourself. Instead, you program cells to do it for you.
You can see that we have three big incubators here that look like big pizza ovens, and we can literally scale this thing up to 20 liters of cell culture, producing any single knotten. And that would actually provide us with enough material to do a whole plethora of studies.
Now, it's not like this produces thousands of new drugs. It produces drug candidates. You have to find the few that have promise and throw the rest away. Then you make a few thousand variations on that handful, and over and over. All that takes money. But since it's still largely unproven and doesn't fit at all into the usual process for drug discovery, Olson says it's been hard to get funded.
It's very difficult to get grant support for the most innovative work. In many cases, we got back grant reviews that said this is overly ambitious or you may not succeed in the time frame of the grant.
But Olson's team is taking a longer view. If they do succeed, it opens up a whole unexplored landscape for treating diseases. Plus, they've already overcome a major obstacle in making their drug candidates. Now, how to tackle that little matter of needing millions of dollars a year to see if it all pays off? The answer they settle on takes the project from the realm of the unusual into truly uncharted territory. We'll hear about that in part two. Gabriel Spitzer, KPLU News.